You've probably stared at the price of a dozen eggs lately and thought, there's got to be a better way. Or maybe it wasn't the cost, it was the taste, the nostalgia, or the dream of stepping outside and collecting breakfast straight from the source. Whatever brought you here, this isn't just about eggs, it's about independence, joy, and the quiet rhythm of life you'll discover with a backyard flock. You don't need 100 acres or a farmer's bloodline. Just a patch of yard, a bit of curiosity, and a willingness to get your hands a little dirty. Raising chickens is easier than you think, more rewarding than you imagine. And yes, those farm fresh eggs really do taste better. This audiobook is your A to Z homesteading field guide to egg-laying bliss. From breeds to bedding, coop design to seasonal care, predator-proofing to collecting your first golden yolk, we've got you covered. So if you've ever wondered if you could do it, you can, and you're about to learn how. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1, A is for aspiration. Why raise chickens for eggs? So you're thinking about raising chickens for eggs. Maybe you're picturing fresh omelets every morning. Maybe it's the dream of a simpler life where your breakfast doesn't come from a plastic carton, but from a hen you've named Henrietta. Or maybe you're just tired of store-bought eggs that taste like cardboard and come with a sight of guilt about how the chickens were treated. No matter what brought you here, this chapter is all about understanding the why, because the clearer your reasons, the smoother your journey will be. The motivation behind it. Let's start by figuring out your personal goals. Ask yourself, are you doing this to save money on eggs? Do you want better tasting, more nutritious eggs? Are you interested in teaching your kids about where food comes from? Do you want to live more sustainably or reduce your carbon footprint? Are you hoping to create a little side hustle selling eggs to neighbors or farmers markets? There's no wrong answer, but your motivation will affect what breed you choose, how many chickens you get, and how much time and money you'll invest. Farm fresh versus store-bought. What's the real difference? You've probably heard people rave about farm fresh eggs, but is the difference really that big? Yes, and here's why. Nutrition. Eggs from backyard chickens tend to be higher in omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D, and beta-carotene. Why? Because your hens are likely eating a varied diet with access to bugs, grass, and good quality feed, not just processed pellets. Taste. The yolks are richer, creamier, and actually taste like something. You'll notice it the first time you crack one into a pan. Ethics. You'll know your chickens are loved, cared for, and free to roam, not crammed in a cage the size of a shoebox. Freshness. Eggs straight from the coop are fresher than anything you'll get at the supermarket. Store-bought eggs can be up to 30 to 45 days old before they even hit the shelf. But is it really cheaper? Let's be real. Raising chickens isn't always the cheapest option, at first. Between the coop, feed, and supplies, your startup costs can add up. But over time, especially if you keep things simple, it balances out. Here's a quick breakdown of potential savings. Item: store-bought, backyard chickens, dozen organic eggs, $6 to $8. Approximately $1.50 feed cost. Feed per month, 6 hens, $20 to $30, co-op setup, $300 to $800, one time. Now consider this. A healthy hen lays around 250 to 300 eggs a year. That's 25 to 30 dozen per bird per year. Even a small flock of 4 to 6 hens can provide enough eggs for a household and maybe even a little extra to share or sell. Lifestyle fit. Is this right for you? Before you dive in, let's get honest about your lifestyle. Do you travel often? Chickens need daily care. Not much, but enough that you'll need a chicken sitter when you're out of town. Do you have space? You don't need acres, but you do need enough room for a coop and a secure run. Do you have neighbors close by? Roosters can be noisy. Spoiler, you don't need a rooster to get eggs. Are you okay with a little mess? Chickens scratch, poop, and turn grass into dust if left unchecked. It's part of the deal. Chickens as a family affair. If you've got kids, raising chickens is one of the best ways to teach responsibility, empathy, and biology all at once. Little ones can help gather eggs, refill feeders, and even name the hens. Teenagers can learn carpentry by helping you build the coop. And you? You'll learn the quiet joy of caring for creatures that give back every day. It's one of those rare family projects that actually pays dividends. In eggs, in lessons, and in laughs. The Chicken Whisperer lifestyle. Don't be surprised if you start seeing chickens everywhere once you get started. That's not just you, it's a lifestyle shift. You'll start noticing coop designs on Pinterest, joining Facebook groups with names like Crazy Chicken People, and referring to yourself unironically as a chicken mom or coop dad. It happens. Embrace it. Chapter Checklist. Know your why. Before moving on to the next chapter, let's make sure you're clear on your goals. Take a moment to write down, why do I want to raise chickens? How many eggs do I want per week? How much time can I realistically spend caring for them each day? Do I want to go big or start small? What's my budget to get started? Once you know your why, everything else will fall into place. Coops, breeds, feeding, routines. You're not just raising chickens. You're raising a mindset, a lifestyle, and something that brings joy and nourishment to your home. Let's build this thing from the ground up, literally. Chapter 2. B is for budgeting and planning, what it takes to get started. All right, now that you're clear on your why, it's time to talk numbers, logistics, and a bit of strategy. Raising chickens isn't rocket science, but walking into it blind can cost you more time, money, and frustration than necessary. So, let's lay out a practical plan to get your flock started without breaking the bank. How much does it really cost? Let's get one thing straight. Backyard chickens can be as budget-friendly or bougie as you want them to be. Some folks spend thousands building designer coops with solar panels and self-cleaning floors. Others? They convert an old doghouse, nail up some wire, and get fresh eggs all the same. Here's a rough cost breakdown for a starter setup with 4 to 6 hens. Category: budget option, mid-range option, high-end option, co-op and run, $150, DIY used, $500 to $800, kit, $1,500 plus, custom build, chicks, 4 to 6, $15 to $25 total, $30 to $60, $75 plus, rare breeds, feeder and waterer, $20 to $40, $50 to $70, $100 plus, bedding, starter, $10 to $20, $30 to $40, heat lamp brooder, $30 to $50, feed per month, $20 to $30. Startup, total, $250 to $500, depending on your choices. But remember, most of this is one-time cost. Once you're set up, your monthly costs will usually run around $20 to $40 for feed and bedding. Plan before you build. Questions to ask. Before you order those fluffy little chicks, answer these questions. 1. How many chickens do you want? Each hen lays about 4 to 6 eggs per week. A family of 4 typically does well with 4 to 6 hens. 2. Do you want chicks or full-grown hens? Chicks are cheaper and cuter, but take 4 to 6 months to start laying. Pullets, teenagers, cost more, but will lay within weeks. Laying hens are ready to go, but can be harder to find and more expensive. 3. How much space do you have? Minimum recommendations: 2 to 4 square feet per bird inside the coop, 8 to 10 square feet per bird in the run. More space equals happier hens, fewer problems. 4. Are you allowed to keep chickens? Check local laws. Some cities limit flock size. Roosters are often banned and unnecessary for eggs. HOAs may have restrictions on noise, smell, or coop visibility. The coop, rent or build. Your chicken coop is the single biggest investment you'll make. It needs to be predator-proof, stay dry and well-ventilated, provide roosting bars, have nesting boxes, one for every 3 to 4 hens, be easy to clean. 3 options. Buy new. Prefab kits available online or at farm stores. Great for beginners, but can be flimsy. Buy used. Check Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, or local farms. Just make sure it's clean and secure. build your own, cheapest, if you're handy, and you can customize it. Tip: you don't need a Pinterest-perfect coop. You need a safe one. The chickens don't care if it's cute. Nesting boxes and roosting bars. Nesting boxes should be about 12 by 12 inches, filled with straw or pine shavings, placed in a dark, quiet corner. Roosting bars give your chickens a place to sleep. Each bird needs about 8 to 10 inches of space to perch. A simple wooden dowel or sturdy branch will do. Supplies you'll want on hand. Here's your basic gear list: feed and water containers, starter feed, if getting chicks, layer feed, once they start laying, bedding, pine shavings, straw or sand, egg basket or bucket, gloves for cleaning, small shovel or rake, optional but helpful treats, mealworms, cracked corn, grit, helps them digest food, calcium supplement for strong eggshells, first aid kit, yes, chickens get scrapes too. Time commitment: daily, 10 to 15 minutes to feed, water, and check for eggs. Weekly, clean out bedding, check the coop, refill supplies. Monthly, deep clean the coop, inspect for mites or pests. It's low maintenance, but it's still a commitment. Best time to start: spring is ideal. Most hatcheries sell chicks between February and June. Warmer weather means less risk of cold shock, and your flock will start laying by late summer or fall. That said, if you're buying pullets or full-grown hens, you can start anytime. Chapter checklist: budgeting and planning. Before you move on, make sure you've thought through your flock size and space available, your startup budget, whether you'll build or buy your coop, the laws in your area, your time commitment each day and week. Planning ahead saves headaches and money. A well-planned setup will last you for years. Chapter 3. C is for choose your breed, matching hens to your needs. So, you've got your plan, your budget, and maybe even a spot picked out in the yard. Now comes one of the most fun and surprisingly important decisions of all. Which breeds of chickens are right for you? Not all chickens are created equal. Some lay lots of eggs. Others lay fewer but have wonderful personalities. Some are divas, some are workhorses, and some are absolute sweethearts. Choosing the right breed isn't just about egg production, it's about matching your flock to your lifestyle. What matters most to you? Before we dive into the breeds, answer this simple question: what's most important to you? Lots of eggs? Go for high production breeds, friendly and kid safe. Choose docile breeds. Cold or hot climate? Some chickens handle weather better than others. Colorful eggs? Yes, you can get blue, green, chocolate brown, even pinkish eggs. The perfect breed for your neighbor might not be perfect for you. Let's walk through the options. Top egg-laying breeds for backyard flocks. Here are some of the most popular, beginner-friendly breeds that consistently lay lots of eggs. First, Rhode Island Red. Eggs, 250 to 300 brown eggs per year. Temperament: hardy, independent. Why choose them? Great layers, do well in all climates, low maintenance. Second, Leghorn. Eggs, 280 to 320 white eggs per year. Temperament: active, a little flighty. Why choose them? Egg-laying champions. Just be aware they're a little skittish. 3. Plymouth Rock, Barred Rock. Eggs, 200 to 250 brown eggs per year. Temperament: friendly, good with kids. Why choose them? Sweet personality, good layers, cold hardy. Chtvrti Australorp. Eggs, 250 to 300 brown eggs per year. Temperament: calm, gentle. Why choose them? Great for beginners, beautiful glossy feathers, steady layers. Femte Golden Comet. Eggs, 280 to 320 brown eggs per year. Temperament: very friendly and easygoing. Why choose them? Hybrid, bred for egg laying, super consistent layers. Want colorful eggs? If you want your egg basket to look like a pastel Easter display, you're in luck. First, Easter egger. Eggs, 200 to 280 blue, green, or pink eggs per year. Temperament, curious and sweet. Why choose them? Fun, surprise colors. No two are exactly alike. Second, Americana. Eggs, 200 to 250 blue eggs per year. Temperament, alert but calm. Why choose them? True blue eggs, plus they have adorable beards. Driet Marans. Eggs, 150 to 200 dark chocolate brown eggs per year. Temperament, calm and quiet. Why choose them? Stunning egg color and beautiful birds. Best breeds for kids and families. If you've got young children, gentle and friendly hens make a big difference. These breeds love people and handle being held. Silky, soft, fuzzy, and super docile. Not top egg layers, but sweet and great for young kids. Buff Orpington. Fluffy, calm, and affectionate. About 180 to 220 eggs per year. Cochin. Big and cuddly, lays fewer eggs, but are wonderful lap birds. Climate considerations. Not all chickens are suited for every weather. Cold hardy breeds. Thick feathers, smaller combs, less frostbite risk. Examples: Buff Orpington, Australorp, Barred Rock, Wyandotte. Heat tolerant breeds. Slimmer bodies, larger combs to release heat. Examples: Leghorn, Rhode Island Red, Easter Egger. If you live in a place with temperature extremes, try a mixed flock with both traits or insulate and ventilate your coop accordingly. Heritage versus hybrid. Heritage breeds are traditional, hardy, often dual purpose, meat plus eggs, and great for sustainability. Hybrids are bred specifically for high egg production. They often burn out sooner and don't live as long. If you want long-term layers and a stronger immune system, heritage is your friend. If you want maximum egg production for a few years, hybrids like Golden Comets or Isa Browns are unbeatable. What to avoid as a beginner? Fancy show breeds. They're pretty but may need extra care or not lay much. Game birds. Often aggressive or noisy. Roosters. You don't need one for eggs, and they're often banned in urban areas. They can also be loud and sometimes aggressive. Mix it up. You don't have to pick just one breed. A mixed flock gives you a variety of colors, personalities, and egg colors. Just be sure to introduce them at the same time or follow proper integration steps to avoid pecking order drama. Chapter Checklist: Choosing the Right Breed. Before moving on, ask yourself, do I want maximum egg output, friendly personalities, or colorful eggs? What's my climate like? Hot, cold, or variable? Will these chickens be around kids or pets? Do I want to start small with just one breed or mix it up? Take your time. A good flock starts with smart choices, and remember, no matter what you pick, you're about to meet some of the most charming, quirky little characters you'll ever know. Chapter 4. D is for Design. Building a coop that's safe, smart, and easy to clean. You've chosen your chicken breeds. Now, they need a home. But not just any home. A secure, cozy, well-ventilated, easy-to-clean, and predator-proof sanctuary. Your coop is the foundation of your flock's health and your own sanity. If you build it right the first time, you'll avoid a mountain of stress later. If you cut corners, you may wake up to a raccoon invasion, flooded bedding, or chickens roosting in your flower pots. Let's build it right. The golden rule, form follows function. Chicken coops don't have to be fancy. They just have to do the job. That job includes protection from predators, cold, heat, and rain, comfort for laying and sleeping, cleanliness for health and smell control, ease of access for you. Think of your coop as a chicken house with three key rooms, a sleeping space with roosts, a nesting area for laying eggs, an open-air run for daytime roaming. Whether you're buying a prefab kit or building from scratch, these fundamentals remain the same. Size matters. Space. Per bird. If your birds feel cramped, they'll start pecking each other, laying fewer eggs, or trying to escape. Here's the general rule. Inside the coop, 2 to 4 square feet per hen. Outdoor run, 8 to 10 square feet per hen. Free range yard, optional, but loved. Example, for 6 hens, your coop should be at least 24 square feet, e.g., 4 feet by 6 feet, and the run should be 60 square feet or more. More space equals happier, healthier hens. Ventilation, your secret weapon. Here's a common beginner mistake: sealing the coop up too tight. Chickens breathe, poop, and release moisture all night long. That moisture needs to escape, or you risk ammonia, buildup, frostbite, or mold. Install vents near the roofline to allow warm, moist air to rise and exit. Use hardware cloth to cover openings, not chicken wire. Keep vents open year-round, yes, even in winter. Fresh air keeps your flock healthy. Roosting bars, where chickens sleep. At night, chickens want to perch off the ground, close together. Give them 8 to 10 inches of roosting space per bird. Bars made of 2x4 lumber with the wide side facing up, easier on their feet. Roosts placed higher than the nesting boxes, so they don't sleep where they lay. Avoid metal bars. Those get too cold in winter. Nesting boxes, egg-laying headquarters. Provide one nesting box for every 3 to 4 hens. Each box should be about 12 inches by 12 inches, lined with straw, pine shavings, or nesting pads in a quiet, darker corner, slightly lower than roosts to discourage sleeping in them. Keep them clean and your eggs will be too. Make cleaning easy on yourself. A dirty coop is a smelly coop and a health hazard. Smart design equals easier cleaning. Tips: install a droppings board under roosts to catch manure. Scrape it daily. Use removable trays or linoleum flooring for wipe downs. Add large access doors for you and for egg gathering. Consider a walk-in coop if your budget and space allow. Predator proofing, your first line of defense. Raccoons, foxes, hawks, snakes, neighborhood dogs. They're smarter and more determined than you think. To protect your flock, use 1/2-inch hardware cloth, not chicken wire, for all windows and vents. Bury mesh fencing 12 inches underground around the run to stop diggers. Install locks or carabiners on all doors. Raccoons can open latches. Cover the run with netting or wire to protect from aerial attacks. If there's even a tiny gap, a predator will find it. Seal everything tight. Coop. Location, sunlight, shade, and drainage. Where you place your coop matters. Choose high ground to avoid flooding. Face the coop's windows and pop door east. Sunlight encourages laying. Provide some shade in hot climates or use a tarp or tree cover. Keep the coop away from bedrooms if you're sensitive to early clucking. You want your coop to be accessible, dry, and not too close to your neighbor's patio. Windows, doors, and chicken doors. Windows. Let in natural light, which promotes egg laying and airflow. Main door. Big enough for you to get in easily. Pop door. Small chicken-sized door with a secure latch. Optional upgrade. Automatic pop door. Opens at sunrise, closes at dusk. Great for people with busy schedules or forgetful mornings. Pro tips from the coop. Paint or seal the inside walls to prevent mold and make cleaning easier. Add a poop hammock under roosts to catch droppings. Yes, really. Put linoleum or vinyl flooring down for easy sweeping. Use sand in the run for better drainage and odor control. Collect rainwater from the coop roof for your chicken's water source. Chapter checklist: Building smart. Before you move on, double check. Have you chosen a safe and dry location for your coop? Is your design big enough for the number of hens? Does it have good airflow and secure locks? Will it be easy to clean and maintain weekly? Have you included roosts, nesting boxes, and a run? You don't have to build a palace, just a fortress. Safe, simple, and clean is the name of the game. Chapter 5, E is for eggs. What to expect when your hens start laying? You've built the coop, picked your breeds, and your hens are happily scratching around their new home. Then, one morning, like magic, You spot it. A warm, beautiful egg sitting in the nesting box. It's a moment every chicken keeper remembers. But the road to that first egg isn't always a straight line. In this chapter, we'll walk through when hens start laying, how to support them, what to expect from their laying patterns, and how to make the most of your fresh farm-to-table bounty. When do chickens start laying? Most hens begin laying at 18 to 22 weeks old, about 4.5 to 5.5 months. But this can vary by breed, diet, daylight, and health. Hybrid breeds, like Golden Comets, often start earlier, around 16 to 18 weeks. Heritage breeds, like Orpingtons or Australorps, may take a bit longer, up to 26 weeks. Don't panic if your hens reach 20 weeks and there's still no egg. Watch for signs of readiness instead. Signs: your hen is about to lay. Here's what to look for when laying time is near. Reddening comb and wattles. The brighter and redder they get, the closer you are. The squat: she'll lower herself when you approach. It's a submissive, egg-ready stance. Exploring nesting boxes. If she's scratching, fluffing, or hanging out in the boxes, it's go time. Singing the egg song, a distinctive bawk, bawk, bawk celebration after laying. What to expect with first eggs. The first few eggs are often weird. Don't worry, it's totally normal. You might see tiny eggs called pullet eggs, shellless or soft shell eggs, odd shapes or double yolks. This is your hen's body getting the system up and running. Within a few weeks, her eggs will become more consistent in size, color, and shell strength. Egg laying schedule. Not every day. Most hens don't lay every single day. Their laying pattern depends on breed, season, daylight, age, diet, stress levels. On average, high production breeds, 5 to 6 eggs per week. Moderate layers, 3 to 5 eggs per week. Egg laying naturally slows or stops in winter during molting, or if a hen is broody, trying to hatch eggs, even if they're unfertilized. The role of light. Chickens need about 14 to 16 hours of light daily to lay consistently. In winter, shorter days, fewer eggs. Some keepers install coop-safe LED lights with timers to extend daylight hours, but it's optional. Letting hens rest in winter is natural and healthy. Think of it as their off-season. Nutrition for strong, healthy eggs. If you want strong shells and rich yolks, what you feed your hens matters. Layer feed, specially formulated with calcium and protein for egg production. Calcium supplement. Offer crushed oyster shells in a separate dish, not mixed into feed. Grit. Helps digest food, especially if they free-range and eat scraps. Fresh greens and treats. Great supplements, but no more than 10% of the total diet. Avoid too many treats, can cause obesity and poor egg production. Salty or sugary scraps. Avocado pits, skins, raw potatoes, chocolate. Toxic to chickens. Collecting eggs. It's best to collect eggs daily to keep them clean. Avoid cracking or freezing. Prevent hens from eating them or going broody. If your nesting boxes are clean and well-lined, your eggs should come out pretty tidy. Washing. You don't have to wash eggs unless they're visibly dirty. Eggs have a natural coating called the bloom that protects them from bacteria. If you do wash, use warm water. Don't soak. Dry them thoroughly and refrigerate. Unwashed eggs can sit on the counter for 1 to 2 weeks. Washed eggs should go in the fridge and last 3 to 5 weeks. Common egg-laying issues and fixes. 1. No eggs? Check. Age: too young or too old. Daylight: shorter days. Stress: new co-op mates, predators. Illness: check for parasites, injuries. 2. Soft shells? Usually a sign of low calcium. Offer oyster shells and ensure you're using a good layer feed. 3. Egg eating? This bad habit starts when an egg breaks in the box. To prevent, keep nesting boxes clean and cushioned. Collect eggs often. Remove broken eggs immediately. If a hen becomes an egg eater, isolate her or use rollaway nest boxes where eggs roll out of reach. Egg colors, the chicken paint box. Did you know you can often tell what color egg a hen will lay by looking at her earlobe? White earlobes, white eggs, e.g. leghorns. Red earlobes, brown, blue, or green eggs. Colors don't affect taste or nutrition. It's just part of the fun. Keeping hens happy equals better eggs. The more relaxed your hens are, the more reliable they'll be as layers. Simple ways to boost egg production. Keep a routine, feed, open close coop, clean. Limit loud noises and predator stress. Provide shade and dust baths in summer. Give them toys like cabbage heads, mirrors, or hanging treat balls. Happy hens lay better eggs. Period. Chapter. Checklist. Egg expectations. By the end of this chapter, you should know when your chosen breed will start laying, what signs to look for before that first egg, how often to expect eggs, how to collect, clean, and store them, what to feed for healthy shells and yolks. That first egg is just the beginning. Each one is a little gift from your flock and proof that you're doing something right. Chapter 6, F is for free-ranging. Should you let them roam? Picture this. Your hens scratching under the apple tree, catching bugs, dust bathing in the sun, and chattering away like little feathered foragers. That's the free-range dream, and for many backyard chicken keepers, it's a big part of the appeal. But with freedom comes risk. Before you open the coop door and shout, "Go be wild," it's important to understand the pros, cons, how to do it safely. This chapter will help you decide if free-ranging is right for your flock, and if so, how to set them up for success. What is free-ranging? Free-ranging means allowing your chickens outside of a confined run to roam freely in your yard, pasture, or designated area during part or all of the day. There are three general levels of freedom. Full free range, birds roam wherever they please all day. Supervised. Free range, birds are let out during specific hours when someone's around. Controlled free range, chickens roam within movable fencing or a chicken tractor. Each method has its trade-offs. Let's explore them. Benefits of free ranging. 1. Better nutrition. Free-ranging hens eat bugs, grass, seeds, and clover. This natural diet boosts egg flavor, yolk color, and overall bird health. 2. Fewer feed costs. Supplementing with foraged food means you'll go through less bagged feed. 3. Healthier chickens. Free-ranging promotes physical activity, reduces boredom, and lowers risk of obesity and foot problems. 4. Pest control. Chickens love eating ticks, beetles, mosquitoes, slugs, and other garden pests. 5. Entertainment value. There's nothing quite like watching your flock peck, scratch, and explore the world on their own terms. Risks of free-ranging. First, predators. This is the number one concern. Hawks, owls, raccoons, foxes, dogs, even cats pose serious risks, especially to smaller or slower breeds. 2. Lost birds. Chickens aren't as dumb as people think, but they can still wander off, especially if something startles them. 3. Hidden nests. If your hens don't like your nesting boxes, they'll lay in bushes, tall grass, or under porches, and you may not find the eggs for weeks. 4. Garden destruction. Chickens will happily turn your prized tomatoes into mulch and scratch up flower beds if they aren't fenced out. 5. Poop everywhere. They'll leave droppings on porches, steps, patios, and walkways if given the chance. It's part of the deal. How to free range safely. If you decide to give your flock some freedom, here's how to do it right. 1. Time it right. Wait until your hens are at least 6 weeks old, 8+ for full freedom. Let them out in the late afternoon, they won't go far and will return to the coop by dusk. 2. Train them to come back. Start with short supervised outings, Use treats like cracked corn or mealworms and call them each time you feed. Chickens are creatures of habit. Within a week or two, they'll return automatically at sunset. 3. Fence the danger zones. Protect gardens, porches, neighboring yards. Use chicken wire, garden fencing, or repurposed pallets. Even a low 2-foot fence can discourage most hens. Create safe zones. Add shrubs, low trees, or pallets as cover from hawks. Use plastic owls or scare tape to deter aerial predators. 5. Use a rooster, optional. A good rooster will sound the alarm when a predator appears. Just know that roosters can be noisy, sometimes aggressive, and often aren't allowed in city limits. Alternatives to full free ranging. 1. Chicken tractors. A movable coop and run on wheels. Chickens get new grass every day and you get control and safety. 2. Rotational paddocks. Split your yard into zones and rotate your flock weekly. It prevents overgrazing and gives grass time to recover. 3. Large covered run. Build a spacious enclosed run with grass, logs, dust baths, and enrichment. The birds stay safe and you get peace of mind. Best times to let them out. Late afternoon, chickens won't wander far and naturally return to roost as the sun sets. Dry weather, wet grass can harbor parasites and muddy feet make for a messy coop. Calm days, no high winds or storms. Avoid free ranging right after heavy rain, mud equals bacteria. During hawk migration seasons, fall, spring, when local predators are active after dusk. Daily free-range routine example. Here's what a day might look like. 7 a.m., open coop to enclosed run. 3 p.m., let hens out to free-range. 6:30 p.m., hens return to coop on their own. 7 p.m., close up the coop and run. Once your birds have the routine down, it becomes second nature for both of you. Chapter checklist. Ready to roam? By the end of this chapter, you should understand the benefits and risks of free-ranging, know how to introduce it gradually and safely, have a plan to protect gardens, patios, and flower beds, know alternatives if full free-ranging isn't an option. Free-ranging can be one of the most rewarding parts of chicken keeping, but it's not for everyone. Whether your birds roam the yard or enjoy a deluxe run, the key is doing what's best for your birds and your lifestyle. Chapter 7. G is for grit and grind, digestion, dust baths, and daily habits. Here's something many new chicken keepers don't realize. Chickens don't have teeth. So how do they digest grains, seeds, bugs, even bits of gravel? That's where grit comes in. And while we're on the topic of chicken self-care, let's not overlook their other quirky routine, dust baths. It may look like your hens are flopping in the dirt for fun, and they are, but it's also one of the most important things they do to stay clean and parasite-free. In this chapter, we're diving into two essential elements of chicken health, how they eat without chewing, and why that pile of dirt in the corner might be their favorite hangout. How chickens digest their food. Let's walk through the process. Pecking, chickens. Pick up feed, grains, bugs, and kitchen scraps with their beaks. Crop storage. Food goes into a pouch in the throat called the crop, where it's stored and softened. Proventriculus, like a pre-stomach where digestive enzymes are added. Gizzard, the muscle that grinds food using grit, tiny rocks, as a substitute for teeth. If they don't have grit, food sits undigested. That means slowed digestion, fewer eggs, and even crop impaction. What exactly is grit? Grit is small hard particles, usually insoluble crushed granite or flint, that chickens store in their gizzard to help grind food. There are two types: insoluble grit for digestion, needed for chickens eating whole grains, bugs, greens, or free-ranging, usually sold as chicken grit at feed stores. offer in a separate dish, free choice. Soluble grit, calcium, usually crushed oyster shell, helps build strong eggshells. Not the same as digestion grit. Provide both separately. Chickens are smart. They'll take what they need and leave the rest. Do chicks need grit? Yes, but only chick-sized grit. Chicks eating just starter crumble don't need grit right away. If you give them treats, like scrambled eggs or greens, offer chick grit, free choice. Around 8 weeks, switch to regular grit as they transition to adult feed. Never give adult grit to chicks. It can block their system. What about free-ranging chickens? If your flock has access to dirt, gravel, and sand, they'll often find their own grit, but it's still smart to provide it just in case, especially if your soil is clay-heavy or sparse. Dust baths, chicken spa, and parasite prevention. It may look like your hen is having a seizure in a pile of dry soil, but don't worry. That joyful flapping, rolling, and fluffing is a dust bath, and it's essential for health. Dust bathing helps clean feathers, absorb oils and moisture, prevent or reduce mites, lice, and parasites. Think of it as their version of soap and shampoo. How to make a dust bath. Chickens will make their own bath if you don't provide one, often in the middle of your garden or flower bed. If you want to keep them happy and steer them away from your begonias, build a dedicated dust bath. What to use? A plastic tote, old tire, kiddie pool, or shallow wooden box, at least 8 to 12 inches deep. Fill with a mix of dry dirt or topsoil. Place sand, not builder's sand, it's too coarse. Wood ash, from untreated hardwoods. Diatomaceous earth, optional. Food grade only, use sparingly. Place the bath in a dry, sunny area and keep it covered if rain is coming. How often do chickens bathe? Whenever they want, you'll notice favorite dusting spots forming. Some chickens bathe daily, especially in hot or humid weather. Others prefer a few times a week. If you see your birds skipping dust baths entirely, check. Is the area too wet? Are they struggling with mites or skin issues? Are dominant hens blocking access? Daily habits, the chicken routine. Chickens are creatures of habit. Here's what a typical day looks like for a healthy, happy hen. Morning, wake up at sunrise, exit the coop, eat, drink, and preen. Midday, lay eggs, free range or scratch and run, dust bathe, nap in the sun. Afternoon, forage more, eat again, head back to coop as sun sets. Evening, roost on their bars, settle in for the night. If your chickens follow a predictable rhythm, that's a good sign. Disruptions in routine can mean illness, bullying, or predator stress. Red flags in digestion or grooming. Watch for these signs: swollen or squishy crop, possible impaction or sour crop, pasted vent, especially in chicks, poop stuck to feathers, dirty feathers, especially around vent, itching or feather loss, possible mites, listless, hunched, not eating or preening. Always trust your instincts. If something seems off, observe closely and act early. Chapter. Checklist. Grit and grooming essentials. Before moving on, are you offering both insoluble grit and calcium oyster shell separately? Do your birds have access to dirt for dust bathing? Have you set up a dedicated dust bath if needed? Are your hens following a natural daily rhythm? Are you watching for signs of parasites or crop issues? Chickens are remarkably good at taking care of themselves, if you give them the right tools. Chapter 8, H is for health. Spotting sickness, preventing problems, and keeping your flock thriving. If there's one truth every chicken keeper eventually learns, it's this. Healthy chickens are subtle, but so are sick ones. By the time a chicken looks sick, it's often seriously ill. That's why the best medicine is always prevention, and the best tool is your daily observation. In this chapter, we'll walk through how to keep your flock in peak condition, from routine care to early warning signs and building your own backyard poultry first aid kit. Know what healthy looks like. You don't need a veterinary degree to keep chickens healthy. Just a good eye and a solid routine. Here's what a healthy hen looks like. Bright, alert eyes, smooth, glossy feathers, upright posture, red comb and wattles, not pale or shriveled, consistent appetite and egg-laying, clean vent area, no buildup of feces or discharge, regular dust bathing and preening. Spend just 5 minutes observing your flock each day. The more time you spend with them, the faster you'll spot something off. Common signs of sickness. Watch out for lethargy, hunched, fluffed up, staying away from the group. Pale comb or wattles, diarrhea or pasty vent, labored breathing or wheezing, wobbly walking, sudden drop in egg production, feather loss, not from molting, bad odor from beak or vent. These signs don't always mean something serious, but they always deserve a closer look. Common chicken health problems. Here are a few of the most common illnesses and conditions backyard chicken keepers face. 1. Coccidiosis. Symptoms: bloody droppings, lethargy, weight loss. Common in chicks and young birds. Prevention: use medicated starter feed or maintain dry, clean bedding. Treatment: Amprolium, found in corid. 2. Respiratory infections. Symptoms: coughing, sneezing, nasal discharge, gurgling, can be caused by dusty bedding, poor ventilation, or contagious disease. Treatment: isolate sick bird, improve air quality, possibly antibiotics. 3. Mites and lice. Symptoms: feather loss, scratching, tiny bugs near vent or under wings. Prevention: regular dust baths, clean coop. Treatment: dust with poultry safe permethrin powder or diatomaceous earth. 4. Egg binding. Symptoms: straining, penguin stance, no eggs, lethargy. Cause: large egg stuck inside. Treatment: warm bath, calcium supplement, gentle massage. Seek vet help if unresolved. 5. Crop issues, impaction or sour crop. Symptoms: squishy or hard lump in neck, bad breath. Treatment: massage crop, withhold food, give olive oil or ACV water, vet visit if needed. Build a backyard chicken first aid kit. Here's what to keep on hand, just in case. For external issues, electrolytes plus vitamins powder, vet wrap or self-adhesive bandage, antiseptic spray or wound wash, blue coat, camouflages peck wounds, tweezers plus scissors, disposable gloves. For digestive issues, olive oil, mild impaction remedy, apple cider vinegar, immune booster, 1 tablespoon per gallon of water weekly. Probiotics, powder or yogurt for gut health. Activated charcoal for toxin ingestion. For parasites, diatomaceous earth, food grade only. Poultry safe mite, louse dust or spray. Medications, corid for coccidiosis. Electrolyte packets for heat stress or shock. Tylan or other vet-approved antibiotics, if recommended. Label everything and store it in a dry, easily accessible spot near your coop. Clean coop equals healthy birds. Keeping your coop clean and dry is more effective than most medications. Weekly chores: remove soiled bedding, scrape droppings boards, refill grit and oyster shell, sweep out dust and feathers. Monthly deep clean: remove all bedding, scrub floors, roosts, and nesting boxes with mild detergent or vinegar. Let everything dry fully before refilling. Tip: don't overdo bleach. Vinegar, sunlight, and elbow grease are usually enough and safer for your birds. Do chickens need vaccines? In some countries, hatchery birds are vaccinated against Marek's disease or Newcastle disease. In the U.S., it depends on your supplier. If you're raising birds from chicks, ask your hatchery if they offer vaccinations. Most backyard flocks do fine unvaccinated, but check your local poultry board. When to call a vet. If your chicken can't stand or walk, has yellow, green, or bloody droppings for more than 2 days, is losing weight rapidly, stops eating and drinking, shows signs of pain, screaming, straining, isolation. Call a poultry vet if available. Not all vets handle birds, so it's good to find one before there's an emergency. Pro tips for a healthy flock. Rotate bedding weekly to stay ahead of parasites and odor. Boost immune systems with fermented feed, herbs like oregano or garlic, and ACV water. Limit treats. Too many disrupt gut health and egg production. Keep stress low, move slowly, minimize sudden co-op changes, and maintain a daily routine. Quarantine new birds for 2 weeks before adding to your existing flock. A calm, well-fed, and loved flock is a resilient one. Chapter. Checklist. Flock wellness. Before moving on, ask yourself, can you recognize the early signs of illness? Is your coop well ventilated, dry, and routinely cleaned? Do you have a first aid kit stocked and ready? Are you watching for parasites, binding, or odd behaviors? Do you know who to call if something serious happens? Chickens may not tell you when something's wrong, but their body language and habits do. Stay observant, stay calm, and you'll be ahead of 90% of new chicken keepers. Chapter 9. I is for integration. Introducing new chickens without starting a war. Chickens have a deeply ingrained social structure, and it's called the pecking order for a reason. When you introduce new birds to an established flock, you're not just adding more feathers to the mix, you're disrupting a finely balanced social system. Done the wrong way, it can lead to bullying, stress, injury, or worse. But don't worry. With patience, space, and a few tricks up your sleeve, you can expand your flock without turning your coop into a battleground. The pecking order explained. Every flock, from 2 birds to 20, has a clear hierarchy. Top hens eat first, perch higher, and often rule the roost. Middle hens keep their heads down and follow the rules. Bottom hens are often pecked or pushed aside, but still have their place. It may seem harsh, but it's natural. Chickens are flock animals, and the pecking order helps maintain order and safety. When you add new birds, the entire system is challenged, and the existing birds will defend their rank. Your job is to help them do it safely. When to introduce new birds. Timing is everything. Wait until new chickens are at least 8 to 10 weeks old before mixing them with adults. Young chicks are too small, fragile, and low-ranking to defend themselves. Quarantine all new birds for at least 2 weeks to check for illness, mites, or parasites before they even see your flock. Step-by-step integration plan. Step 1. Quarantine, weeks 1 to 2. Keep new birds in a separate space, ideally 30-plus feet away. Observe for sneezing, diarrhea, mites, or weakness. Feed and water separately. Avoid cross-contamination. Wash hands and tools between coops. Step 2. See but don't touch. Days, 15 to 21. Place the new birds in a separate pen inside or next to the main run. Use wire fencing so everyone can see and hear each other but not touch. Reduces fear of the unfamiliar. Allows hens to get used to each other's scent and movement. Expect some chest puffing and squawking. That's normal. Do this for at least 3 to 5 days. Step 3. Supervised mixing, days 22 to 25. Let both groups out into a neutral area, yard, garden, pasture, with plenty of space. Watch closely. Interrupt bullying with a broom or squirt bottle. Expect chasing and pecking, but not bloody fights. If there's excessive aggression, separate and try again the next day. Step 4. Full integration, day 26 onward. Let new and old birds roost in the same coop at night. Add extra food and water stations to reduce competition. Keep observing for 1 to 2 weeks. Monitor for feather loss, wounds, or weight loss. Continue with multiple feeding areas until the flock stabilizes. Tips for smoother introductions. Introduce groups, not singles if possible. A lone hen is easier to target. Distract with treats or scatter feed during mixing. Rearrange the coop or run just before full integration. New territory makes everyone adjust. Add visual barriers in the run so chased hens can hide. Give extra roost space so newcomers can sleep without being pushed off. What about chicks? If you're raising new chicks from scratch, they'll need special care until they're coop ready. Use a brooder box for the first 6 to 8 weeks. Don't mix with adults until fully feathered, 8+ weeks, and only after the steps above. Start integration in small, daily increments, just 10 to 15 minutes of supervised time at first. Older hens can be rough on chicks. Err on the side of caution. What's normal and what's not? Normal behavior, light pecking, chasing, fluffing feathers or squawking, short squabbles that end quickly, not normal bloody combs, wattles, or backs, one bird being cornered or attacked repeatedly, injuries from ganging up, refusal to let a bird eat or drink. If it turns ugly, separate the aggressor or give the new bird more time apart. What if it never works? Some hens just don't get along. If you've tried multiple introductions and there's still bloodshed or serious stress, consider rehoming the aggressive bird. Divide the flock permanently with separate coops runs. Introduce a rooster. They often calm down tension by enforcing pecking order more evenly. But in most cases, integration just takes time, patience, and persistence. Real-life scenario. Let's say you have 4 older hens and you want to add 2 pullets. Here's what your integration might look like. Week 1 to 2, quarantine pullets in a garage brooder. Week 3, place pullets in a dog crate inside the run, next to main flock. Day 22, supervised meet and greet in the yard with plenty of space. Day 25, let them all free range together. Day 26, let them roost together, but check in early morning for signs of bullying. This gradual method works for 90% of backyard keepers. Chapter. Checklist. Integration essentials. Before moving on, confirm that. You've quarantined new birds for 14 days. You've used a see-but-don't-touch phase. Introductions are happening in a neutral, supervised space. You're offering multiple feeding areas. You're watching behavior daily and stepping in when needed. Adding new birds is exciting, but it's a social reshuffling that takes finesse. With the right plan, you'll have one happy, unified flock in no time. Chapter 10. J is for joy, celebrating the unexpected benefits of backyard chickens. When people first start raising chickens, they usually have a pretty practical goal in mind. Fresh eggs, food security, maybe pest control. But what most new chicken keepers discover along the way is something far more meaningful. Chickens, it turns out, aren't just livestock. They're personalities, they're therapy, they're comedy relief, and oddly enough, they're community builders. This chapter is about the magic beyond the eggs. The moments you didn't expect, but now wouldn't trade for anything. They're funny, like really funny. It doesn't take long to realize that chickens are hilarious, whether it's a hen running full speed across the yard for a grape, the dramatic egg song every time someone lays, a puffed-up rooster trying to intimidate a lawn chair, a curious pullet climbing into your toolbox just to see what's inside. Chickens have quirks, preferences, and routines that'll keep you laughing. Some will follow you around like a puppy. Others will give you side eye if you switch feed brands. Laughter isn't just a perk, it's part of what makes chicken keeping so good for the soul. Backyard therapy, calm in a clucking world. Life gets loud, stress piles up, the world feels heavy some days. Then you walk outside and there they are, scratching the dirt, sunbathing, clucking softly to each other, entirely present in the moment. There's something deeply grounding about spending time with your flock. They don't care about your inbox or your bills. They just want to see if you brought snacks. More and more people are discovering that chickens offer real mental health benefits. Reduces anxiety through daily care and routine. Provides companionship for the lonely or isolated. Promotes mindfulness. Watch a dust bath and try not to feel peaceful. And unlike phones or screens, chickens live in the real world. They pull you into the present, and that's powerful. Chickens and children, the gentle teachers. If you've got kids, a flock is one of the best teachers you can give them. Responsibility, feeding, watering, and collecting eggs gives children daily purpose. Empathy. Learning to handle birds gently and watch for injuries teaches care and awareness. Biology 101. From laying cycles to molting, kids see science in action. Nutrition. They learn where their food comes from. Not a plastic carton, but a living, breathing animal. And there's nothing quite like seeing a child's face light up the first time they find a warm egg in the nesting box. From coop to connection, building community. One unexpected joy of chicken keeping is how it connects you to others. Maybe it starts with a basket of eggs left on a neighbor's porch. Maybe it's swapping stories at the feed store. Maybe it's joining a local chicken keeper's Facebook group and realizing you're not the only one who named a hen Beyonce. You'll find trading partners for eggs, feed, or chicks. Seasonal egg customers in your neighborhood. Friends to call when a chicken looks off and you're not sure why. Chickens have a way of cracking open connections that go far beyond the backyard. Food you trust. Every egg you collect is a little gift. Honest food produced by birds you know in a yard you walk daily. There's no barcode, no chemicals you can't pronounce, no guessing how the animal was treated. Just a warm egg, a satisfied hen, and a small moment of self-sufficiency. You'll eat slower, appreciate more, and probably never look at a grocery store egg the same way again. You'll get attached, and that's okay. People will warn you, don't name them, don't get too close. But here's the truth. You're going to fall in love with at least one bird. Maybe it's the goofy one who insists on riding your shoulder. Maybe it's the quiet hen who always sits near you. Maybe it's the runt who fought to survive. And when they pass, which they eventually do, you'll feel it. It's not just about eggs, it never really was. It's about connection to your food, to your land, to a rhythm of life that's older and slower and more honest. Real joy, stories from the flock. We started with chickens for the eggs. Now we sit outside with coffee every morning just to watch them. Amber, Georgia. I was in a rough place after my divorce. My chickens gave me routine, laughter, and something to care for. They helped me heal. Dante, Oregon. My son has autism. He doesn't speak much, but he talks to his favorite hen every single day. Marisol, Texas. These are the stories that don't make it into cop plans or egg count spreadsheets, but they're the ones that matter most. Chapter Checklist, Embracing the Joy. By now, you've probably experienced some of this already, but take a moment to reflect. Have you noticed your chickens' unique personalities? Are you finding yourself more present and peaceful outside? Have you shared your flock through eggs, photos, or stories with friends or neighbors? Do you feel a stronger connection to your food? Have your chickens surprised you with joy? If you answered yes to even one, you're doing it right. Chapter 11, K is for keeping cool, summer heat, hydration, and heat stroke prevention. Most folks worry about chickens freezing in winter, but truth be told, it's summer heat that causes the biggest danger to your flock. Chickens don't sweat. Their bodies aren't built to handle high temperatures for long periods. And once a bird starts showing signs of heat stress, time becomes critical. But don't worry, there's plenty you can do to help them stay cool, comfortable, and safe all summer long. This chapter is your go-to guide for beating the heat, chicken style. How hot is too hot? Chickens begin to experience heat stress when temperatures climb above 85 degrees Fahrenheit, 29 degrees Celsius. Once it hits 95 degrees Fahrenheit or 35 degrees Celsius or more, the risk of heat stroke and death rises sharply. Vulnerable birds include heavy or large breeds, e.g., Brahmas, Orpingtons, elderly hens, birds with dark feathers, broody hens sitting on nests, overcrowded flocks. If you live in the South or West, or if heat waves hit your region, it's critical to prepare in advance. Signs of heat stress. Early signs to watch for: panting with beak open, wings held away from the body, lethargy or weakness, loss of appetite, reduced egg production, pale or discolored combs and wattles, staggering, collapsing, or drooping heads, urgent. Never wait for the worst signs. By the time a hen is laying on her side or unable to move, emergency cooling is required. Hydration is everything. Water is your flock's number one defense against heat. Tips to keep water flowing. Place waterers in shaded areas. Sun-heated water can discourage drinking. Use multiple water stations, especially for large flocks or free rangers. Refresh water twice daily in peak summer. Add electrolytes during heat waves, available at feed stores or DIY with sugar, salt, baking soda mix. DIY electrolyte mix per gallon of water. 1 teaspoon baking soda. 1 teaspoon table salt. 1 tablespoon sugar. Do not offer long-term, only for 1 to 3 days during heat episodes. Cooling tricks and hacks. Try these time-tested strategies to keep your birds comfortable. 1. Frozen treats. Freeze corn, peas, watermelon chunks, or herbs in muffin tins with water. Offer these chicken popsicles in the heat of the day. 2. Cool water bottles. Freeze plastic soda bottles and place them in shaded corners or in nest boxes. Chickens will lay next to them for relief. 3. Shallow pans of water. Place under trees or shade. Some chickens will walk through or stand in them. 4. Frozen water jugs in nest boxes. Keeps broody hens from overheating. Shade is non-negotiable. If your coop or run bakes in full sun, make shade a priority. Options: tarp stretched over run, shade cloth on one side of coop, lean-to with salvaged pallets, umbrellas, bamboo fencing, or pop-up canopies. Plant fast-growing vines or sunflowers for natural coverage. Even a few degrees of shade can make a life-saving difference. Boost airflow. Hot, still air inside a coop is dangerous. Improve airflow with open vents near roofline, hardware cloth windows, battery-operated or solar fans, removing solid walls, replacing with wire sides in summer. At night, leave coop doors open to the run if it's predator safe. What not to do? Don't soak chickens with cold water. Sudden chilling can cause shock. Don't feed high protein or high fat treats on hot days. They increase body heat. Don't overcrowd your coop. More birds equals more body heat. Don't rely on one waterer. If it tips or clogs, you could lose birds fast. Emergency cooling for overheated birds. If a chicken appears in distress, move her to the shade immediately. Place feet and legs in cool, not icy water. Use a wet towel on her back or under wings. Offer electrolytes and cool water. Keep her calm and isolated until stable. Do not feed or force water down her throat. Just make it available. If symptoms don't improve in 30 minutes, call a poultry vet. Summer coop adjustments. Small changes can make big differences. Add light-colored roofing to reflect heat. Cover run with shade cloth. Replace bedding with sand for better drainage and cooling. Keep doors open longer in the early morning and late evening. Some keepers even move their birds into well-ventilated sheds or garages on the hottest days. Real-life heatwave routine. Here's how one backyard keeper handles a 100-degree-plus day. 7 a.m., refresh waterers, add ice, feed early. 10 a.m., offer frozen watermelon plus cool water bowls. 12 p.m., mist shady areas with hose, check vents. 3 p.m., add new frozen water bottles to run. 6 p.m., change water again, lightly mist feet. 9 p.m., keep coop door open, secure run only. It takes a little extra effort, but it can save lives. Chapter: Checklist, Summer Survival Plan. Before the next heat wave, do you have multiple water sources in shaded spots? Have you made or planned frozen treats or ice bottle coolers? Is there adequate airflow and shade in both coop and run? Do you have electrolytes or a DIY recipe ready? Do you know how to spot early signs of heat stress? Summer should be a time of sunbathing, dust baths, and golden yolks, not loss and regret. A little prep goes a long way in helping your hen stay healthy and happy all season. Chapter 12. L is for lighting. The role of daylight, artificial light, and egg production. There's a reason chickens slow down in the winter. And it's not just the cold. Light is the primary trigger for a hen's laying cycle. Chickens are hardwired to lay based on the length of daylight hours. As the days get shorter, their reproductive system naturally pauses or slows down. It's nature's way of giving them a break. So as a chicken keeper, the question becomes, do you let them rest or add artificial light to keep the eggs coming? In this chapter, we'll look at the science behind light and egg production, how to use lighting safely, and why sometimes less really is more. Why light matters so much. Chickens aren't just reacting to weather or temperature. They respond directly to the amount of light their bodies receive each day. Here's how it works. Light enters through a chicken's eyes and skull, stimulating the pineal gland. This triggers the pituitary gland, which signals the release of reproductive hormones. Those hormones tell the hen's body, it's egg time. The ideal light range for steady laying is 14 to 16 hours per day. Below that, especially under 12 hours, many hens naturally stop or significantly reduce laying. Natural light and seasonal patterns. Let's look at what happens through the seasons. Season. Daylight hours, average. Egg production, spring, 13 to 15 hours. Increases rapidly, summer, 14 to 16 hours. Peak laying season, fall, 10 to 12 hours, begins to decline. Winter, 8 to 10 hours. Laying slows or stops. You might go from collecting 6 eggs a day in July to 1 or 2 in January, and that's completely normal. Letting nature take its course. Many backyard chicken keepers choose to let their hens rest in winter. Here's why. Pros. Healthier birds long term reduces the risk of reproductive exhaustion, supports the natural molt cycle, gives hens time to rebuild calcium and protein reserves. No risk of light-related stress or disruption. Hens are not egg machines. They're living animals that benefit from seasonal rhythm and downtime. If you're not relying on eggs for income, this might be the gentler option. Using artificial light, should you? If consistent egg production is important to you, adding light is a safe and common method when done properly. Timing. Add light in the morning, not at night. Sudden darkness can leave birds stranded off the roost. Use a timer to extend daylight to 14 to 16 hours total, including natural daylight. Setup. Tips. Use warm white LED bulbs. Avoid flickering fluorescent tubes. Install fixtures high and secure. Chickens love to peck at cords. Keep wattage low. You only need enough to simulate dawn, dusk, not flood the coop. Start with 15-minute increments and increase gradually to avoid shock to their system. Dangers of overuse. There's a reason commercial egg farms are criticized for 24/7 lighting. Constant stimulation can lead to burnout. Risks of mismanaged artificial light, aggression or pecking from overstimulation, egg binding or prolapse from forced laying, shortened lifespan and reduced long-term productivity, stress-related illness, moderation and respect for your bird's biological needs are key. What about night lights? Chickens can't see well in the dark. That's why they instinctively head to the roost before sunset. If you need a coop nightlight, use a soft red bulb to avoid disrupting their sleep. Turn it off once all birds are settled. Nightlights can help during winter roosting, especially for new or nervous birds. Portable light options. Don't want to run electricity to your coop? Try battery-powered LED lanterns, solar-powered string lights, USB rechargeable puck lights with timers, motion-activated solar lights, helpful for predator detection too. Just make sure they're safe, dry, and out of pecking reach. Light and egg quality. Light affects quantity, not necessarily quality, but only if everything else, diet, health, age, is balanced. That said, Hens forced to lay too often without enough rest may produce thinner shells, smaller eggs, lower yolk pigmentation. Always balance lighting schedules with calcium access, adequate protein, mental stimulation, and room to move. A happy, healthy hen lays a better egg, light or no light. Chapter. Checklist. Lighting strategy. Before you plug in that timer or resign yourself to a winter egg drought, ask yourself, do I want to prioritize egg quantity or bird wellness during winter? Can I safely install and maintain lighting in my coop? Am I prepared to ramp up gradually and monitor for stress? Do I understand the natural laying rhythms and molting cycles of my hens? There's no right or wrong answer, just what works best for your flock, your goals, and your philosophy. Chapter 13, M is for molting. When the feathers fly and the eggs stop coming. One day, your chickens look gorgeous, full-feathered, glossy, strutting around like they own the place. The next, you step into the run and it looks like a pillow exploded. Feathers are everywhere. Your hens look ragged, half-plucked, and grumpy. And the egg basket? Suddenly empty. Don't panic, your flock isn't falling apart, they're molting. Molting is a completely natural and necessary process in a chicken's life cycle. In this chapter, we'll explain what it is, when it happens, and how to help your girls through it with dignity, health, and as little stress as possible. What is molting? Molting is the process of shedding old feathers and growing new ones. Feathers wear out over time. They get frayed, dirty, sun damaged, or broken. Just like humans lose hair and grow new strands, chickens need to replace their plumage, especially before winter. Molting is not just cosmetic, it's nutritionally demanding, and while it's happening, egg laying typically stops. The hen's body shifts energy from reproduction to feather regeneration. When does molting happen? Molting usually happens once a year, most commonly in the late summer or fall when daylight begins to decrease. Molting may also occur after a broody period, during a stressful event, predator scare, co-op move. When young pullets mature into adult plumage, soft molt. A full molt lasts between 6 to 16 weeks, depending on the bird and breed. Types of molt. There are two main types. First, soft molt. Gradual feather loss over weeks. Hens may still lay a few eggs, usually in young birds or light annual molts. Second, hard molt. Sudden, dramatic feather drop. Birds look almost naked in patches. No eggs, higher nutritional needs, don't be alarmed. Hard molts look scary but are still natural. Is my hen sick or just molting? Molting and illness can look similar. Here's how to tell the difference. Symptom, molting, illness, feather loss, even symmetrical, patchy, bloody, irritated, appetite, normal to slightly decreased, often severely decreased, activity, alert but less energetic, lethargic, isolated, comb color, pale but not shriveled, blue-gray or extremely pale, egg-laying, stops completely, may stop or continue sporadically. Always observe behavior closely. If you're in doubt, check for other signs like sneezing, diarrhea, or foul odors. Nutrition during molt. Growing feathers is protein intensive. Feathers are made of 85 to 90% keratin. During molting, switch from layer feed, 16% protein, to a higher protein grower feed, 18 to 20%. Offer high protein treats like scrambled eggs, mealworms or black soldier fly larvae, tuna in water, unsalted, sunflower seeds, unsalted, shelled. Reduce scratch grains and corn, too low in protein. Once molting ends and laying resumes, switch back to layer feed to maintain calcium levels. Handle with care. Feather pins, new feathers, are sensitive. Avoid picking up molting chickens unless necessary. They're often more irritable, less social, and may even peck more than usual. Give them space, extra bedding, and quiet places to retreat. Stress delays regrowth. Clean coop equals clean feathers. With feathers flying, it's a great time to do a deep coop clean. Replace all nesting box materials. Dust for mites or lice, which often sneak in during molt. Chickens regrowing feathers are vulnerable to parasites, so prevention is key. Can I speed up the molt? Not really. Molting is a biological process that runs its own course. However, you can support the process with protein-rich diet, low-stress environment, plenty of clean water and dry bedding, time and patience. Some hens molt quickly, called a fast molt, and regrow feathers in 4 to 6 weeks. Others take up to 4 months. Will they lay again? Yes. Once the molt is complete and daylight increases, or artificial light is added, egg production resumes. Often, hens return to laying better quality eggs, with stronger shells and more vibrant yolks. Molting is like a reset button. Real life tip. I used to panic every fall when my hens looked like they'd been attacked by foxes. Now, I just make sure they get lots of protein, a little privacy, and I don't take it personally when they don't want to be touched. Tanya, backyard chicken keeper from Virginia. Chapter checklist, molt management. Before moving on, can you recognize the signs of a normal molt versus illness? Are you prepared to switch to a higher protein feed temporarily? Is your coop clean and parasite-free during the feather regrowth period? Are you giving your hens extra space, calm, and time to recover? Do you understand that egg production will resume after molt ends? Molting may look messy, but it's not a sign something's wrong. It's a sign your hens are doing exactly what nature intended. Chapter 14. N is for nesting box drama. Broken eggs, broody hens, and egg thieves. The nesting box should be a calm, quiet place, a peaceful spot where your hens can lay their eggs in peace. But if you've had chickens for more than 5 minutes, you've probably discovered that nesting boxes often become the epicenter of drama. Fights over favorite spots, broken or missing eggs, hens who refuse to leave the box for days or won't lay in it at all. In this chapter, we'll talk about the most common nesting box problems and how to solve them with confidence and calm. First, let's talk nesting box basics. Before we dive into the drama, here's a refresher on ideal nesting box setup. One box per 3 to 4 hens. Size, 12 by 12 by 12 inches, placed in a dark, quiet part of the coop, filled with soft bedding, straw, pine shavings, or nesting pads. Mounted off the ground but lower than roosts. Cleaned weekly to prevent odor and mites. Simple and clean is better than fancy or decorative. Chickens don't need frills, they need function. Broken eggs in the box? A few broken eggs over time is normal, but if it becomes frequent, you'll want to investigate. Common causes: not enough bedding, thin shells, calcium deficiency, overcrowding in the box, jumping or fighting inside, egg eating. More on that shortly. Fixes. Add more soft bedding to cushion eggs. Offer oyster shell free choice to boost calcium. Ensure there are enough boxes for the number of hens. Check that roosts are higher than boxes to prevent sleeping and pooping inside. The broody hen. She's not laying, she's nesting for keeps. A broody hen is one who decides she wants to hatch eggs, even if they're not fertile. She'll sit in the nesting box 24/7, puffing up, growling, and pecking anyone who comes close. Signs of a broody hen: refuses to leave the box, growls or fluffs up when approached, plucks feathers from her chest, stops laying eggs, aggressively guards the box. It's completely natural, but problematic if you don't want chicks or she's disrupting the laying cycle of others. How to break a broody hen without being mean. If you don't plan to let her hatch chicks, you'll need to discourage the behavior. Here are safe methods. 1. Cool her down. Place her in a well-ventilated wire-bottom crate, like a dog crate, with food and water, no bedding. The goal is to cool her belly and disrupt the hormonal cycle. Leave her for 2 to 3 days. If she returns to the box and puffs up again, repeat. Second, block the nesting area at night. Temporarily remove the nesting material or close off the boxes after dark. Third, frequent removal. Lift her out of the box multiple times a day and encourage activity. Offer treats outside. 4. Add distractions. Toss, scratch, or mealworms into the run to draw her out. Sometimes a little social time helps reset the instinct. Note, some hens are extremely determined and may go broody repeatedly. If she's healthy and you have space, you can also just let her ride it out. Egg eating, a bad habit. That's hard to break. One of the most dreaded nesting box issues, a hen starts eating eggs. Often it begins accidentally. A broken egg exposes the yolk, a curious peck happens, and suddenly she's got a new favorite snack. Signs, yolky mess in nesting box. Fewer eggs, but no shells in sight. Sticky beaks and faces, hens rushing to the box after each lay. How to stop egg eating. 1. Collect eggs frequently. Twice a day or more. Don't let temptation sit there. 2. Add curtains to nesting boxes. Keep boxes dim and private. Less visibility equals less curiosity. 3. Use roll-away nesting boxes. Eggs roll into a covered tray as soon as they're laid, out of reach. 4. Calcium deficiency. Make sure your hens are getting enough oyster shell. Thin shells break more easily. 5. Give boredom busters. Add flock blocks, hanging cabbage, or logs to keep beaks busy elsewhere. 6. Identify the culprit. If you suspect one specific hen, isolate her temporarily. You can also blow out an egg, fill it with mustard or dish soap, and leave it in the box. Once she gets a taste of that, the habit may stop. Nesting box bullies. Sometimes dominant hens prevent others from using the boxes. This leads to floor eggs, hens hiding eggs elsewhere, fights, and feather loss. Solutions. Add more boxes, install privacy curtains, give alternative quiet corners. Add dummy eggs or golf balls in multiple boxes to normalize use. The goal is to reduce competition and create an environment where every hen has a peaceful place to lay. Hens, not using the boxes? Some chickens insist on laying in tall grass, feed bins, flower pots, coop corners, your dog's bed. If this becomes a habit, keep hens confined to the coop until mid-morning. Most lay before noon. Place fake eggs or ceramic eggs in the boxes to signal where to lay. Remove other cozy, hidden laying spots. Keep the boxes clean and odor-free. Chapter. Checklist. Nest box harmony. Before you move on, are your boxes clean, quiet, and comfortably bedded? Do you have enough boxes for your flock size? Are you collecting eggs at least twice a day? Do you know how to discourage broodiness or break an egg-eating habit? Are you watching for signs of bullying or nesting competition? Nesting boxes can be drama zones, but with a little structure and routine, they can also be the calmest part of your flock's day. Chapter 15. O is for off-limits, chicken-proofing. Your garden, porch, and sanity. You open the back door, coffee in hand, and step outside, only to find that your prized lettuce is shredded, the mulch is everywhere, and someone, probably Henrietta, has pooped on the welcome mat. Welcome to the free-range chicken paradox. They're delightful, they're productive, and they will absolutely destroy your landscaping if you don't set clear boundaries. In this chapter, we'll cover how to give your flock freedom while protecting your flowers, veggies, patio, and sanity. Spoiler alert, it's possible to do both. Why chickens love off-limits zones. Chickens don't have boundaries. They have instincts, and their instincts tell them to scratch through soft mulch for bugs, dust bathe in dry flower beds, eat the tender shoots in your garden, poop on flat, sunny surfaces like porch steps and outdoor furniture. They're not misbehaving. They're just being chickens. Your job? set gentle, clear physical limits. Protecting your garden beds. Whether you're growing vegetables or ornamentals, your chickens will find your garden irresistible. Here's how to keep them out. 1. Use garden fencing. A simple 2 to 3 foot fence is often enough. Use chicken wire, plastic netting, or repurposed pallets. Make sure it's secured at the bottom. Chickens are Olympic-level diggers. 2. Install raised beds. 12 to 18 inches high is usually enough to discourage jumping. Add trellises or netting for extra protection. 3. Use row covers or tunnels. Lightweight, breathable, and easy to move. Protects tender seedlings from both birds and pests. 4. Plant decoys. Give them their own chicken garden with sacrificial plants like kale, lettuce, clover, or sunflowers. Chickens and mulch, a love-hate relationship. To chickens, mulch equals fun. It's the perfect medium for scratching, nesting, and launching into your walkway. What works? Larger bark chips, harder to move. Stones or gravel paths, uninviting to scratchers. Heavy mulch covered with netting or wire mesh. Avoid light, fluffy straw, or leaves in areas you want to stay neat. Chicken-proofing your porch and patio. Tired of stepping in surprise poop on your deck? Here's how to keep your outdoor living space clean. First block access. Use garden lattice, decorative fencing, or even baby gates. Hang strips of Mylar tape or plastic ribbon at entry points. Chickens often avoid it. 2. Add textures they dislike. Hardware cloth or rubber welcome mats with spikes deter lounging. Large potted plants can act as natural barriers. 3. Train with repetition. Shoo them off immediately, every time. Spray lightly with water, never harsh. Reward them for staying in approved zones. Designate chicken zones. Create areas that are chicken-friendly to distract from off-limits spots. Compost pile access, great for pest control. Dirt corner for dust bathing. Hanging cabbage, treat balls, or flock blocks for enrichment. Logs, bricks, or platforms for perching and pecking. Give them something better to do and they'll spend less time terrorizing your roses. Natural and decorative barriers. Don't want your yard to look like a construction zone? Here are attractive options. Tall flower pots arranged in rows. Bushy shrubs planted along garden edges. Ornamental fencing from hardware stores or garden centers. Climbing plants on trellises to wall off vulnerable areas. You don't have to choose between beauty and protection. You can have both. Predators and escape artists. While you're keeping chickens out of certain places, you also need to keep them in safe zones. Tips. Check fences daily for gaps. Use hardware cloth buried 12 inches along fence lines to stop digging. Install top netting or string crisscross pattern to block aerial predators. Clip wings only if necessary. Do so one side at a time and only after researching how. Balance safety with freedom. Urban and suburban solutions. Backyard chickens aren't just for the countryside anymore, but neighbors, sidewalks, and small spaces mean you have to get creative. Try mobile chicken tractors to rotate them through your yard without chaos. Permanent runs with covered roofs, scheduled free-ranging hours, supervised like a recess break. Good fences make good chickens and happy neighbors. When to say nope. Some areas just need to stay 100% chicken-free. That's okay. Set clear no-go zones. Children's play areas. Food gardens with root crops. Herb beds with mint, chives, or toxic plants. Entryways, doorsteps, porches. Chickens can be trained with patience, structure, and the occasional harmless deterrent. Chapter. Checklist. Chicken-proofing success. Before moving on, have you fenced off your garden and delicate landscaping? Are you using porch barriers or deterrents to protect your entryways? Have you created dedicated chicken zones to redirect energy? Are you checking for gaps and weaknesses in your fencing? Are you balancing freedom with control for both beauty and bird safety? Your chickens can still live their best lives, even if your flower beds survive too. Chapter 16. P is for predators. Locking down your coop and run against invaders. You go to bed with a happy, clucking flock and wake up to scattered feathers and silence. It's every chicken keeper's worst nightmare, a predator breach. The truth is, chickens are vulnerable. They're low on the food chain, slow to defend themselves, and most active during the day, while many predators hunt at night. That makes coop and run security absolutely essential. In this chapter, we'll break down the most common threats, how they get in, and exactly how to predator-proof your flock without turning your backyard into a fortress. Know your enemy, common chicken predators. Your location will determine which predators pose the biggest threat. Here are the usual suspects. Predator, when they hunt, how they attack. Raccoons, night, open latches, reach through wire. Foxes, day-night. Dig under fences, sneak attacks. Hawks, day, swoop down and snatch. Owls, night, silent night hunters. Snakes, day-night, steal eggs, chicks. Opossums, night, eat eggs, small birds. Dogs, day-night. Dig, chew, break in, rats, night, eat feed, steal eggs, bite chicks. Weasels slash minks, night, kill multiple birds for fun, coyotes, night, dig, climb, bite through weak spots. Coop security, make it a fortress. The coop is your chicken's safe haven, so let's reinforce it. 1. Use hardware cloth, not chicken wire. Chicken wire keeps chickens in, but it won't keep predators out. Use 1/2-inch galvanized hardware cloth for all windows, vents, and lower walls. Secondary wire skirts. Bury hardware cloth 12 inches deep or extend it 18 inches out from the base of the coop to stop diggers. 3. Secure all openings. Every window, vent, and door needs to be latched tight. Use locking carabiners or spring-loaded latches. Raccoons can open simple hook latches. 4. Elevate the coop. Raising your coop 12 to 18 inches off the ground keeps out burrowers and allows for airflow. 5. Install a solid floor or dig guard. Dirt floors are easy for predators to dig under. Add a wood or concrete base, or lay hardware cloth under your entire coop and cover it with dirt and bedding. Run security. Keep daytime safe, too. Many attacks happen during free range or in unsecured runs. Tips: cover runs with hardware cloth or aviary netting. Use solid fencing, 5 to 6 feet tall. Close all access doors when unsupervised. Provide natural hiding spots like bushes or pallets for aerial predator cover. For open range setups, consider portable electric poultry netting, especially in rural areas. Automatic doors. Worth it? Yes, especially if you're not always home by dusk. Closes the coop at a set time or light level, prevents human error. We all forget. Protects against night stalkers like raccoons, coyotes, and owls. Battery-powered or solar models are affordable and reliable. Make sure your chickens have access to the coop before it shuts. Clean coop equals fewer pests. Rodents and snakes are drawn to spilled feed, uncollected eggs, easy nesting materials. To deter them, use no-spill feeders, collect eggs daily, store feed in metal bins with tight lids, keep coop edges trimmed, no overgrown grass or stacked junk. Clean spaces equals less reason for predators to hang around. Additional security measures. Motion-activated lights. Startle nighttime intruders, can be solar-powered and mounted near run entrances. Predator aprons. Use hardware cloth laid flat around the coop run perimeter, prevents digging without needing deep trenching. Surveillance cameras. helps you identify what's visiting your coop. Battery or solar-powered trail cams work great. Roosters. A good rooster will sound the alarm and protect the flock, but they're not invincible. Livestock guardian dogs. Great for large properties. Breeds like Great Pyrenees, Anatolian Shepherds, and Maremmas are natural protectors. Remember, predators are smart. Once a predator finds a way in, they'll come back repeatedly. Even if you remove them, another will eventually find the same weak spot. If you lose a bird, identify the entry point, tracks, droppings, fur, feathers. Repair and reinforce more than just that area. Set up extra deterrents like lights, fencing, or alarms. Real-life scenario. One morning, I found 3 hens dead and the coop door wide open. I thought I had latched it, but a raccoon had flipped the simple hook. Since switching to locking carabiners and an automatic door, we haven't had another loss. David, Kentucky. Chapter Checklist. Predator Ready. Coop. Before moving on, are you using hardware cloth on all vents and weak spots? Is your coop latched securely with locks raccoons can't open? Have you buried or skirted the perimeter to stop digging? Is your run covered and tall enough to stop aerial attacks? Are you regularly checking for droppings, holes, or signs of digging? Your flock depends on you to keep them safe. A little upfront work can prevent heartbreak down the line. Chapter 17. Q is for quirks. Understanding chicken behaviors, emotions, and social dynamics. Chickens are more than egg-laying machines or feathered garden ornaments. They're complex, expressive, and incredibly social animals with rich emotional lives, if you know what to look for. From hilarious habits to intricate flock hierarchies, your birds have personalities as unique as their feather patterns. Once you start paying attention, you'll realize there's a whole world of chicken drama, friendship, jealousy, affection, and attitude happening right in your backyard. This chapter is all about understanding your flock on a deeper level and building a bond that goes beyond the breakfast basket. Do chickens have emotions? Yes, studies show chickens can feel joy, sunbathing, dust bathing, foraging, fear, predator threats, loud noises, boredom, pacing, aggression, repetitive behaviors. Empathy, mother hens cluck softly to their chicks before they hatch. Affection, certain hens will follow you around or squat to be picked up. They're emotionally intelligent creatures with routines, preferences, and social needs. Pecking order, the original social ladder. Every flock has a strict hierarchy known as the pecking order. It determines who eats first, who roosts where, who gets first pick of dust bath spots, who gets corrected or ignored. You'll often see top hens, bold, confident, first to food, middle hens, peacekeepers, followers, bottom hens, timid, last to eat, often chased. Pecking order is natural, but it's your job to watch for bullying that crosses the line. What's normal? What's not? Behavior. Normal? Notes. Light pecking, social correction, chasing, especially during new introductions, feather pulling, may signal stress, boredom or poor nutrition, bloody wounds, separate injured birds immediately, screaming or loud panic, check for predator or injury, always observe the intensity and duration of behavior. Some squabbles are part of daily life, but repeated, targeted aggression needs your intervention. Chicken language. What are they saying? Chickens communicate constantly with dozens of unique vocalizations. You'll start to recognize them over time. Common sounds. Soft clucks, contentment, casual conversation. Loud squawk, laying an egg, calling attention. Rapid bup, bup, bup is alert signal, danger nearby. Trilling or humming, bonding mama hens to chicks. Growling or puffing, warning to stay away. Often broody hens. Learning your bird's language deepens your bond and helps you spot trouble early. Chicken personalities. Meet the archetypes. Every flock has characters. Some examples you might recognize. The queen, top of the order, bold, confident, occasionally bossy. The clown, always getting into things, first to greet you at the gate. The loner, prefers a quiet corner and doesn't follow the crowd. The shadow, follows a particular bird or human everywhere. The troublemaker, digs up your garden and knows it. Pay attention. Your chickens will show you who they are if you take the time to watch. Do chickens bond with people? Yes, and the bond can be surprisingly strong. Signs your chicken likes you, runs to greet you, squats for petting or picking up, talks when you're nearby, jumps in your lap or sits beside you. To build a stronger bond, spend time in the coop or run daily. Talk softly to them. Offer treats from your hand. Handle them gently but consistently. Chickens raised from chicks often imprint strongly on humans, but even older hens can warm up with time. Chickens and mirrors, toys and enrichment. Chickens get bored, especially in winter or confined runs. Enrichment is essential for emotional and behavioral health. Try hanging mirrors. Yes, they'll admire themselves. Flock blocks or sweat cages with greens, branches, swings or perches at various heights, old CDs or shiny objects, dust bath areas with varied materials, scattered treats for foraging practice. A mentally engaged chicken is a healthier, happier, and more productive chicken. Grief, loneliness, and loss. Chickens grieve. If a flockmate dies or is removed, others may search the yard, stay isolated, stop laying, make distress calls, allow time for adjustment. In multi-hen flocks, routines normalize quickly, but single or closely bonded birds may need special attention or even a new companion. Understanding group dynamics. Change shakes up the order. New hens, injuries, or coop rearrangements trigger pecking order resets. Roosters can calm or disrupt. A well-mannered rooster may reduce hen fighting, but aggressive ones can escalate chaos. Overcrowding equals conflict. More space equals fewer battles. When you understand flock psychology, you can prevent problems before they start. Chapter Checklist, Flock Psychology, 101. Before you move on, can you identify the pecking order in your flock? Are you familiar with your chicken's normal behaviors and vocalizations? Do you offer enrichment or boredom busters? Are you watching for signs of bullying, grief, or distress? Do you feel like you know your chickens as individuals? Once you truly know your flock, you'll never look at chickens the same way again. They're smart, emotional, and if you let them, deeply connected to you. Chapter 18. R is for raising chicks, brooders, heat, and that first month of fluff. There's nothing quite like it. Those tiny, chirping puffballs wobbling around on stick legs, pecking at everything in sight. Chicks are adorable, fascinating, and a little fragile. That first month is absolutely critical. Get it right, and you'll raise healthy, strong birds. Get it wrong, and you risk stunted growth, illness, or worse. But don't worry, you're about to get the full step-by-step roadmap for raising baby chicks from day one to coop ready. What you need before the chicks arrive. Raising chicks requires some prep, but it's completely doable. Here's your checklist. Essentials: brooder box, safe enclosed space. Heat source, heat lamp or brooder plate. Thermometer. Pine shavings, never cedar, it's toxic. Feeder and waterer, chick-sized. Chick starter feed, medicated or non-medicated. Electrolytes/probiotics, optional but helpful. Step 1. Set up the brooder. The brooder is your chick's first home. It should be safe. No sharp edges, no access to cords. Draft-free but well-ventilated. Warm and consistently heated. Spacious enough for all chicks to move freely. Great DIY brooder options. Plastic tote, large cardboard box, kiddie pool with high sides, wooden crate with wire top. Space guidelines. Start with 1/2 square foot per chick for the first 2 weeks, increasing as they grow. Step 2, dial in the heat. Chicks can't regulate their own body temperature for the first few weeks, so heat is crucial. Temperature guide, week 1, 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Week 2, 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Week 3, 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Decrease by 5 degrees Fahrenheit per week until fully feathered, approximately 6 weeks. Use a thermometer at chick level, not just overhead. Heat source options. Heat lamp, common but risky, secure it well, never near flammables. Brooder plate, safer, mimics a hen's body. Watch the chicks, not just the thermometer. Huddling under lamp equals too cold. Panting or avoiding center equals too hot. Evenly spaced, active, chirping softly equals just right. Step 3. Water first, feed second. When chicks arrive, dip each chick's beak gently in water so they learn to drink. Use shallow dishes or chick waterers to prevent drowning. Add electrolytes and probiotics during the first week or after stressful travel. Feed. Offer starter crumble, 18-20% protein. Medicated starter contains amprolium to prevent coccidiosis, common in soil. Non-medicated is fine if your chicks are vaccinated or you're using clean bedding. Avoid giving treats too early. Chick tummies need time to develop. Step 4. Keep it clean. Chicks are messy. Your brooder will need regular attention. Change bedding every 1 to 3 days, especially under feeder, waterer. Clean waterers daily. They poop in everything. Remove wet or clumped feed promptly. Dry, clean bedding equals fewer health risks. Watch out for pasty butt. One of the biggest chick killers is pasty butt, droppings that harden and block the vent. Signs: hardened poop stuck to vent. Lethargy, fluffing up, no interest in food. Fix: gently clean with warm water and a paper towel, dry with a soft cloth. Apply a little olive oil or coconut oil around the vent to prevent recurrence. Check for pasty butt daily the first 2 weeks. Socialization and handling. The first few weeks are the best time to bond with your chicks. Sit near the brooder and talk to them daily. Offer feed from your hand. Gently hold chicks after 3 to 5 days for short sessions. Avoid chasing or grabbing from above. Approach slowly at their level. Handled chicks grow into calmer, more social adult birds. Growth timeline. What to expect. Age. Milestones. Day 1 to 3. Learning to eat, drink, adjusting to heat. Week 1. Exploring, pecking everything, first wing feathers. Week 2. Tiny tail feathers, more active. Week 3. Partial flight, mock pecking order play. Week 4 to 5. Nearly full feathers, scratching, hopping. Week 6. Fully feathered, ready for short outdoor visits. Once fully feathered, they no longer need supplemental heat and can transition outside, weather permitting. Outdoor time. Around 5 to 6 weeks, begin supervised field trips to a secure outdoor pen. Choose warm, dry, wind-free days. Limit to 30 to 60 minutes at first. Always supervise. Hawks, cats, and dogs are real threats. Return them to the brooder before sundown or if they seem cold. This helps them adjust to grass, soil, and sunlight before permanent coop life. Chapter. Checklist. Chick raising success. Before moving on, is your brooder warm, clean, and draft-free? Are you watching for pasty butt and dehydration? Are your chicks active, chirping, and eating well? Do you know how to lower heat gradually each week? And are you beginning to bond and socialize with your flock? Raising chicks is rewarding and surprisingly emotional. You're not just feeding birds, you're building the foundation of a healthy, happy flock for years to come. Chapter 19. S is for seasonal care. Adapting your routine to spring, summer, fall, and winter. No matter how fancy your coop or how hardy your hens, one thing will always shift the rhythm of chicken keeping: the seasons. From springtime laying booms to wintertime slowdowns, your flock lives in sync with the weather, daylight hours, and natural cycles. And if you want them to stay healthy, productive, and happy all year, you'll need to adjust your care routine accordingly. Don't worry, it's not complicated. Just a bit of planning, observation, and timely TLC. Let's walk through your chicken year, one season at a time. Spring, rebirth and boom. Spring is the season of renewal. Your flock shakes off the cold, laying ramps up, and chicks start arriving. What to expect? Increase in egg production, molt recovery finishes, chick season begins, mud and moisture in the run. To-do list. Deep, clean the coop, new bedding, scrub waterers, feeders. Check for parasites, mites and lice spike with humidity. Improve drainage in muddy areas, gravel, sand, or pallets. Order chicks or hatch new ones. Evaluate your flock, retire old hens, plan additions, trim trees or repair fencing before summer growth. Pro tip, spring is prime biosecurity season. New birds equals new risks. Quarantine for 3 to 4 weeks before mixing with your flock. Summer, heat, bugs, and free-ranging fun. Summer brings long days, lots of eggs, and the challenge of heat stress. Chickens don't sweat, so they need your help to cool down. What to expect? Peak egg production, more free-ranging, broody hens, especially heritage breeds, heat waves, and predators. To-do list. Provide multiple shaded water stations. Add electrolytes during heat waves. Freeze treats like watermelon, corn, or herbs in ice cubes. Dust bathing zones are essential. Lock up tighter. Raccoons and foxes are active. Check for fly and mite outbreaks. Signs of heat stress. Panting, wing spread. Lethargy, standing still. Pale combs or drooping posture. If it's too hot for you, it's too hot for them. Fall. Molt. Slowing down and preparing for winter. Fall is the transitional season. Fewer eggs, lots of feathers on the ground, and the lead up to winter prep. What to expect? Molt. Birds shed and regrow feathers. Slower laying or complete pause. Shorter days affect laying hormones. To-do list. Switch to higher protein feed. Molting birds need building blocks. Limit handling. Feather shafts are sensitive. Begin winterizing the coop. Seal drafts, but keep ventilation. Check for leaks or sagging roofs. Clear gutters and rain paths. Clean and inspect heaters, heated waterers, or extension cords. Cull or separate old hens if needed. Pro tip, don't add light to force laying. It shortens hen lifespan. Let nature guide the cycle. Winter. Rest, warmth, and careful watch. Chickens are surprisingly winter hardy, but it depends on how well you prepare. What to expect? Little to no egg production. Short days and long nights. Increased coop time equals boredom. Risk of frostbite on combs and wattles. To-do list. Use deep litter bedding method to generate heat. Provide wind protection, not full ceiling. Ammonia buildup is worse than cold. Heated waterers or frequent changes to prevent freezing. Apply Vaseline to combs on frigid nights. Add flock blocks, cabbage balls, or hanging treats for mental stimulation. Monitor for sneezing, sluggishness, or swollen feet. Avoid heat lamps unless absolutely necessary. They're a fire risk and prevent acclimation. Co-op tip. If it smells like ammonia, you have a ventilation issue. Fresh air is more important than warmth. Seasonal health checklist. Season. Health focus. Spring. Parasite checks. Hydration. Laying stress. Summer. Heat stress. Fly control. Broody hens. Fall. Feather regrowth. Protein support, winter, frostbite, respiratory health, boredom prevention, behavior changes by season. Chickens act differently across the year. Spring, energetic, exploratory, flirty. Summer, laid back, sleepy in the heat, more dust bathing. Fall, quiet, grumpy during molt. Winter, huddled, low activity, less vocal. Understanding these rhythms helps you respond with empathy. Not worry. Adapting to your climate. Every region is different. Know your local risks. Hot, dry zones, shade and hydration are vital. Humid zones, focus on ventilation and mold prevention. Cold, wet zones, deep litter, waterproofing, frostbite care. Adjust the calendar, but keep the seasonal flow in mind. Chapter Checklist, Seasonal Mastery. Before moving on, are you cleaning and checking your coop at seasonal transitions? Do you know what feeds and supplements to use per season? Are you ready for heat waves and cold snaps with gear in place? Are you observing your flock's behavior for natural seasonal changes? Have you adapted your care to your local weather and daylight patterns? Seasonal care is all about rhythm. Get in tune with the year, and your flock will reward you with steady health, beautiful eggs, and fewer surprises. Chapter 20, Tea is for Tomorrow, Legacy, Sustainability, and What Chickens Teach Us. By now, you've probably realized this isn't just about eggs. Sure, it started with breakfast, maybe even budgeting, curiosity, or childhood nostalgia, but somewhere along the way, something shifted. Raising chickens has a way of grounding you, reminding you of the cycles of life, the value of work, and the deep rewards of paying attention. This final chapter is less about technique and more about philosophy. It's about what chickens teach us, what we pass on, and how this simple act of care can ripple outward into something much bigger. Backyard chickens as a lifestyle shift. Raising chickens changes how you see food, time, and waste. You see eggs not as commodities, but as gifts, hard won by healthy birds. You see waste as opportunity, compost, bedding, manure to grow more life. You see routine as rhythm, morning feedings, dusk lockups, daily gratitude. This lifestyle doesn't just nourish you, it reconnects you to something ancient, something real. The sustainability ripple. Chickens play a quiet but powerful role in sustainable living, waste reduction. Table scraps become feed, bedding becomes compost, flies, ticks, and garden pests get gobbled up naturally, soil regeneration. Chicken manure is high in nitrogen. When composted, it's black gold for gardens. Scratching aerates compacted soil and builds microbial life, closed loop living, eggs, meals, scraps, chickens, manure, garden, more eggs. It's a cycle that shrinks your footprint and expands your purpose. Teaching the next generation. If you have children, nieces, nephews, or students, chickens are a living curriculum. Responsibility. Animals rely on consistent care. Biology. You witness growth, reproduction, illness, and healing. Empathy. They learn to interpret nonverbal cues and handle fragile life with gentleness. Food, education, understanding where eggs come from, shifts how they see nutrition and respect animals. Even without kids, your homestead becomes a place of community learning. Visitors are always curious. Neighborhoods perk up when someone's raising chickens. You're planting seeds. The legacy of self-reliance. It starts with chickens, but it never ends there. Before long, you're thinking, can I build a raised bed? What herbs can I dry for winter? Should I learn how to can tomatoes? Could I go off-grid? Each small step toward self-sufficiency reclaims a bit of your power and makes you a bit more weatherproof in uncertain times. Raising chickens doesn't just prepare you for bad days, it gives you better ones. What chickens teach us. If you listen closely, chickens teach us more than any textbook could. Patience. Eggs don't arrive on demand. Hens rest. Cycles slow. You learn to wait. Presence. Sitting with your flock, drink in hand, sun slipping behind the trees. It's meditative. Joy in simplicity. A dust bath. A warm egg. A chicken's clumsy hop. All of it can make you smile. Resilience. Chickens bounce back from cold snaps, predators, even pecking order upheaval. So can you. Community. Flocks don't function alone, neither do we. A tiny farm, a big impact. You don't need to go full pioneer to make a difference. Six hens in a suburban backyard can provide over 1,000 eggs a year. Your compost pile feeds your soil. Your eggshells enrich tomato plants. Your leftovers stop going to the landfill. Your story inspires someone else to try. That's legacy. Your tomorrow starts today. Whether you're just building your coop or celebrating your 100th egg, remember, you're part of a quiet revolution, a movement of people who choose connection over convenience, self-reliance over dependence, roots over rush. Keep going. Keep learning. Keep listening to your birds. Because chickens aren't just livestock, they're legacy. Chapter 20. Takeaways. The journey's end and beginning. You've learned how to raise chickens for eggs, from A to Z. You've explored feeding, health, coops, seasons, and predator defense. You've touched on the emotional and spiritual rewards of this journey, and now you're ready to pass that torch, whether to children, neighbors, or the next curious soul who asks, "So, how hard is it to keep chickens?" Smile, because now, you know,